Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
God is transferring the wealth of the wicked. This is the final harvest. It is the big one. It is a transfer that's going to be above all other transfers, and it's going to come in and give us enough wealth to establish the kingdom quickly throughout all the world. God never restores anything to the place where it was. He always restores it better than it was before. You've got to identify with Jesus. You've got to identify with this man that hadn't fallen. Because if you identify with this other man, he sees you as having greed. But God says, I'm going to make you plenteous in good. You are made for the best. You are made to be the blessing. God has got something for you. So it's got to be a divine transfer, that God is going to come in and divinely transfer it. And this is not something that is done one time. It's done consistently all through the Bible. Say amen to that. So God is transferring the wealth of the wicked. And I believe that this is the final harvest. This is not only the divine transfer, it is the wealth transfer. It is the big one. It is a transfer that's going to be above all other transfers, and it's gonna come in and give us enough wealth that we be able to establish the kingdom quickly throughout all the world. I believe we're going to build and expand His kingdom rapidly. And God has chosen you like Esther for such a time as this. Say amen to that. So now, how did the wealth get into Satan's hands? It's because of the sins of Adam. But what is God doing? Before Jesus comes, He's going to take this wealth and bring it back into the hands of His rightful ownership. Amen. Amen. All right, now, in this, what has happened? We looked at Ecclesiastes. Just look at that, please. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. You will find that people will go far and wide to listen to a billionaire. And that's because he's got one thing. Come on, money. And so as we look at this, we are now going to look at it in terms of the transfer and how God's transferring this money and the influence into the hands of the church. Look what it says in Genesis and chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, He said, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. And I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. And these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Then he goes all the way down. Abraham leaves. In verse 15, this is when Abraham comes into Egypt. And the princes or rulers of Pharaoh saw Sarai and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. Now notice what he had. He had all of this that Pharaoh gave him. Now, Pharaoh gave this to Abram. Abram came down broke, and he left there rich. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was how rich? Very rich. In cattle and what? Silver and gold. Now, how did he get the stuff? Okay, a transfer. Who transferred it? God. Who had it before Abram had it? Pharaoh. God made Pharaoh to give Abraham some stuff. Now, I want you to see this because this is kind of interesting. He made him very rich. God does not want you poor. Neither does he want you in lack. He desires for you to live in abundance. Because it's not only you he's going to bless, but he's going to use you to do what? To bless other people. So now, there's plenty in the earth, but it's in the wrong hands. So God would have you to have plenty, so he made Abraham how rich? Very rich. If you look at verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look on the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Every place that Abraham looked was occupied. But here's the deal. No matter what name was on the real estate deed, no matter whose name is behind the multi-million-dollar offshore account, the Bible says he's given it to Abraham. And his seed. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, he said, then if you belong to Christ, then are you whose seed? Abraham's seed, and what? Heirs according to the promise. Do you belong to Christ?
Yes.
Now you see that the problem is not with God. The problem is that the enemy is trying to talk you out of what really belongs to you. Because as Abraham looked out, all this land was being lived on by the wicked. But no matter whose name was on the real estate deed, God says is his. Now, somebody's got to be courageous enough to receive that. Now, put up Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He says this, Paul is talking. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what to you? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among how many of them? Them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified?
Yes.
You have an inheritance, and God is passing it all on to you. Now, what we talked about last time was silver rights, that we've had civil rights. Thank God for the marching and so forth. But folk still broke. And what God wants to do with the church is not only to just let us get saved, but we need our full rights. And one of those rights is silver and gold. Now, it's kind of interesting about that. Glory to God. Are y'all still with me? Let's look at a little silver rights here. Let's go over to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. Look what he said in verse 13. Thus, this is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of who? The Almighty. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as clay, he may prepare it, but the just, that's you, shall put it on. And the innocent shall divide, come on, the silver. Somebody says silver rights. So we've been saved, but still broke. Saved, but still in debt. Saved, but those days are over today. That I'm declaring a declaration of independence. That whatever God says is yours starting today, it shall come into your hand. So, what are we saying? He told Abram, look at the different places, north, south, east, and west. Am I right about it? Let me give you a word. The word is this: your feet will never take you where your mind has never been. Your feet will never take you where your mind has never been. Now, remember what he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. All that programming that Jesus was poor, it leave that out of your mind. The Bible does say over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be what? Rich. So he became poor, so you become rich. Now where did he become poor at? On the cross. So that you become what? Rich. Now didn't he say that? I went to Africa. And here are the Africans over there, black. And this soil that they're living on, I think you will agree that it's one of the richest continents on the face of this earth. You can go from east to west, from the oil to the diamonds to the oil. You can go, you name it. In abundance, some of the best, purest oil on the face of this planet comes out of Africa. Diamonds, Bishop Bidmark said one time they found a diamond so big, I'm telling you, you name it. This one man who works for one of those companies said he bought a luxury car with one day's wages. Cash. Now, wait a minute. I'm just saying they're over there, but why are they so poor? Go over there and you're poor, living in tin houses and so forth, but the wealth is there. Here it is, right up here. Now, wait a minute. We're not dogging down anybody. We're saying this, that you are on the earth, and God loaded this earth. It's oysters producing pearls as you sit there. This thing, God made it. And God doesn't make anything inferior. He has no reason to make something deficient. Everything he makes is good. He made that wine, they taste that wine. Oh, y'all know how you used to do. And I'm telling you, just hear what I'm saying now. Because we've heard expressions like Jesus was poor. Well, they came to Jesus' house, three men, three wise men, and they brought what? Gold, come on, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know none of y'all who don't know that. But do you know how much gold? Because you looked on that greeting card and you saw a little old box. Am I right?
That's right.
And Peter Daniels came here to speak, a very wealthy man, and he came to speak, said he commissioned a study as to how much gold the wise men brought to Jesus' house when he was baby Jesus. And the value was today approximately $400 million. So he brings $400 million. Why did they need so much? Because they were going down to Egypt. He was going to move them because Herod was trying to kill them. Say amen here. But he didn't bring him little old box that had one little old gold coin in it. And say, hear what I'm saying. And I used to hear my mother used to say all the time, you know, son, he's poor as a church mouse. And I used to try to figure out, church mouse? What church mouse? And church mouse, that was saying that a mouse can go in somebody's house and find something to eat, but in going to church, it's so poor in there, ain't nothing to eat. I'm talking about a rat. Or she used to say this, poor as Job's turkey. And I used to wonder, now, wait a minute, I studied Job. Job was the richest man in the East. Them turkeys was fat. Are you following what I'm saying? How about this? Filthy rich. Well, you want to stay away from that, because that's filth now. That stuff will ruin you. Wow. It won't ruin you if you got good sense. You see, let me tell you something. God, you wait till I get it, because I got to get to the fact that what's coming over to you is luxury. Oh, I better go on this side now. Because somebody over here about ready. That enemy doesn't want you to receive that. He wants you to stay as far away from it as you can and keep your mind from receiving it. Now, let's just talk about that just a minute on the renewing of the mind, because that's got a lot to do. See, God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. Remember what he said to the man, the two blind men? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yeah, Lord. Poof, he pulled the trigger. See, if you don't believe this, now you can sit up and shout hallelujah, all of that, and still don't believe. Now, that's what I want to show you right now, because you've got people, and I got some numbers here, in a person's life who won the lottery. 90% of the people who win the lottery go broke in a short time, most within 5 years. They end up in the same place they were before they won. Now, why is that? They make bad decisions. They make horrible investments. They squander the money, and watch this one, relatives. Some of y'all ain't got nothing and relatives still at your door. Now, what do they end up doing? Watch this, sabotaging their lives. Why? Because that's the way the subconscious is working. The subconscious works 24/7. And it is responsible for 85 to 95% of your daily decisions. It makes decisions on a level that you are not consciously aware of. So what happens? I consciously select something. This is what I want to believe. Then I take it And pretty soon, because of repetition, whatever, it goes into my subconscious. Now, my subconscious is strong, not easily changed, but it's directing my life. So that subconscious mind, glory to God, can even direct me or draw to me resources, ideas, people, and draw them to me for success, or if it's not programmed properly, will push it away. Life is full of opportunities. Say that. There is no shortage. Say that. Now, the shortage has been programmed, or insufficiency has been programmed, because the enemy wants to keep you in a place where you don't want abundance or the best. Now, if I'm right, you want your kids to have the best education. If somebody gets sick, you want them to have the best physician. You want to even live in the best neighborhood. Come on, fess up. But when it comes to the tangible assets of God, the enemy tries to do a number on our minds to keep our comfort zone back in the place where we don't want the best, glory to God, or can't get to the best. There is plenty for you in this earth and for you to do anything you'd like to do. And you are made to enjoy the abundance of His wealth. I'll say it again. You are designed to enjoy the abundance of God's wealth. God didn't put the wealth here for the devil. He put the wealth here for you, because you are designed to enjoy it. All right, let's just look at this a minute. All right, now what did I tell you about the lottery? So I've known a guy, won the lottery. Short time after that, a few years, boy, I'm telling you, it was a mess. I mean, lost family, I mean, everything. And got sick, I mean, just everything. This is what that money did. Let me give you another one. This is what I heard. 75% of the National Football League players go bankrupt in the first 5 years. Now, I understand they're making millions of dollars. Now, what happened? They went beyond their comfort zone. So the subconscious took them right back to their comfort zone. So I don't care what opportunities are around you. If your subconscious mind has not been renewed or changed, then it'll bring those opportunities. It'll try to sabotage your life. Well, I trust that you were blessed by this exciting teaching. It's on the wealth transfer. Now, today's teaching is part of a powerful four-disc series. Now, here's a point I'd like you to remember. The subconscious mind is responsible for somewhere between 85 and 95% of your daily decisions. I mean, decisions being made in your life without you even knowing it. That's the subconscious mind. Let's look at it like this. An airplane has something called an autopilot. Well, the autopilot, once it's set and you're in flight, then let's say you take off from Chicago and you're going to New York City. Well, in that route, you can set the autopilot. It'll take you right to New York without you touching it at all. And that's the same thing about your mind, your subconscious mind. It's designed to keep you in line with what you believe. Well, if you believe in shortage, if you've been programmed in a house and they were always short and trying to get tuition money and so forth and so on, that subconscious mind takes it. It's programmed by the atmosphere and the environment that we live in. So as a result of that, now we've got to reprogram it with abundance. Praise God. So if the mind is not changed, good opportunities can come
and somehow we'll sabotage those opportunities. Well, we want you to be able to take advantage of every opportunity that comes into your life. Praise God. Now, the announcer is going to give you some important information on how you can order this powerful teaching on the wealth transfer, and I'll be right back.
God is transferring the wealth of the wicked. This is the final harvest. It is the big one. It is a transfer that's going to be above all other transfers, and it's going to come in and give us enough wealth to establish the kingdom quickly throughout all the world. God never restores anything to the place where it was. He always restores it better than it was before. You've got to identify with Jesus. You've got to identify with this man that hadn't fallen. Because if you identify with this other man, he sees you as having greed. But God says, I'm going to make you plenteous in good. You are made for the best. You are made to be the blessed. God has got something for you that the world is going to look at you and the devil's trying to make you think it doesn't belong to you. But every place you'll see, from the north to the south to the east to the west, I have given you.
Break the chains of mental bondage and enter your year of jubilee in Pastor Winston's dynamic four-disc series entitled The Wealth Transfer, Volume 2. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at billwinston.org. The church has a mandate to demonstrate the full manifestation of God's word and glory that will free all people to rise in the wealth transfer. Order the wealth transfer today.
Meditation is a God-given process that causes a permanent change in your thinking. Let me say that again. Meditation is a God-given process that causes a permanent change in your thinking. Now, don't think New Age when I'm saying this, because this is an invention of God. This is the way God made us to operate. So if we want to change our mind about something, meditation of the Word of God is one of the best ways of doing that. Meditation produces the internal programming change that builds the capacity for wealth to come into your life. You see, God is going to bring opportunities to us. But if our minds are not changed, we may not even see that opportunity. And it could be a $1 billion opportunity. You follow what I'm saying? Well, I declare from this day, you will not miss those big opportunities that come into your life. Glory to God. Well, this is Bill Winston saying, until next time, we love you and keep walking by faith.
The mission of Bill Winston Ministries is to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. This broadcast has been made available to you through the faithful support of Bill Winston Ministry partners and friends. Thank you, Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers, for your continuous support of the Believer's Walk of Faith broadcast.